Whenever you're ready.
Do not make that the stinger, I swear to God. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we discuss the term atheist versus non-believer, atheism plus, and we answer another listener's 5 questions.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am Molly Glover, and I'm joined by my hosts, or co-hosts, Nick.
I have ice in my mouth.
Let's redo that. Jesus Christ.
No. Let's keep this.
All right.
Let's keep this.
And
we're lame. Yes, that's me. I do not have ice in my mouth. It's like we can't even introduce the podcast. We've got my kids stomping around upstairs.
I'm a professional.
So welcome to Geeks Without God. Today we want to talk about some more atheism stuff. This is more of an atheism episode. First of all, I want to talk about my cousin. My cousin, Hack, sent me an email and was kind of talking to me about how he's an atheist and he lives in Texas, and so it's not really the most atheist friendly state.
Where does he live?
He lives in Austin, but lives in Austin, but that doesn't mean that his family and everyone else.
That's right.
And it is a redder than red state. But Rick Perry comes from there.
Yeah.
That gives you.
So, and George W. Bush.
But in our conversation, I happened to say to him, like, "Oh, I'm glad that you're talking to me about being a non-believer." And his response was, "I wouldn't say non-believer. I think that implies a negativity I don't feel."
Uh-huh.
Saying, "I believe in a lot of things, and I'm going to quote him here, including the inherent nobility of humanity, and that the scientific method is key to our survival as a species." He then says, "I think if we claim the label non-believer, we automatically put ourselves on the defensive against the ignorant."
Huh.
And I like that idea. And then the more I thought about it, the more I realized that, you know, when with atheism, there's at least 3 terms people will use when they mean atheist. And there's atheist, non-believer, and skeptic.
Sure.
And I think that people tend to sometimes bristle at the atheist terminology, because it's so absolute and it conjures up an image of, I don't know, maybe like an angry
atheist asshole on the internet arguing.
We'll talk about atheist assholes a little bit later.
But I really do think that Hack has it right, that, you know, non-believer implies that they're right and we're just choosing not to believe in it.
There is a certain point to that. You know, I think
it's like the pro-life movement.
But I think they also mean different things. You know, I don't think skeptic is fairly. I don't think you can call yourself a skeptic and say that automatically defines you as an atheist.
No.
I think there are theists who are skeptics.
Sure.
Well, and if you're Fox Mulder, you can be an atheist and not a skeptic at all.
Yeah. but it's true, and I think. When Josh Humphrey was on the podcast, and we were talking about the Amazing Meeting, which is a skeptic convention, not an atheist convention. There are people at that convention who are skeptics, but not necessarily atheists.
Sure.
So, shitty skeptics, right? Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I say non-believer a lot.
Go ahead.
I say non-believer a lot. But my reasons for doing so are really, really fucking nerdy. Stan Lee has his 2 like kind of catchphrases he always says.
True believers.
Excelsior, and he calls all his fans true believers.
Yeah.
So every time I say non-believer, in my mind, I'm hearing it in a Stan Lee voice going like, "Okay, non-believers."
So it's like you use that label as a comic book nerdy label for what?
I can't help but to hear it internally in his old man voice.
I mean, I feel like it's not that I don't believe. It's that there isn't a God. and to say that it's that I don't believe implies that it's your perception rather than fact.
Well, so you're saying, you know, for you, you do believe. You believe there is no God.
Yeah, no, and I think I've said that before, mm-hmm. that if I had to label myself incredibly specifically, I would say that I am a Gnostic atheist, in the sense that Gnostic meaning that I am sure and atheist being no God. Like, I am sure there is no God. And I know that that's not necessarily where everyone else falls. But
I probably, it's hard. You know, we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
I suppose, label myself agnostic atheist in that I accept the minuscule possibility. I don't know that I can 100% disprove the existence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of a being that is superior to us is something... It's like, how would you explain living outside of the ocean to a fish?
Right. Sure.
I think of God as living outside of our ocean. And the point that if there was some being like that, there's no possible way we could comprehend what it was like.
Yeah.
And knowing that, I can say, well, I suppose in the superior being concept, that is theoretically possible. I still don't think it's likely at all. But I guess I accept based on that really obnoxious qualifier that I'm an agnostic atheist in the sense that I don't know for 100% sure that there's no God. Although, you know, if you put a gun to my head and told me, are you an atheist or agnostic, I'd say atheist.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that very, very technical, if you want to be, you know, super pedantic about it sense, I would define myself as an apatheist.
That's more right, too.
If there is a God, it has no bearing or effect on how I live my life. If there isn't a God, it has no bearing or effect on how I live my life. I live my life as if there were no God, so it might as well not be. If there is, we have no way of knowing. It'll never be a measurable quantity, and if it does become measurable or determinable someday, then I will reevaluate my worldviews. But as it stands now, there's no evidence, and the lack of evidence has no bearing or impact on how I live my life.
Right.
Yeah.
I identify as an atheist publicly, or a new atheist even, because I feel that religion is detrimental to humanity.
Yeah, and non-believer, is a good point. Non-believer, saying I don't believe, I'm a non-believer, is...
It's almost like nihilism. You mean believe in all kinds of stuff.
It's like the ten questions every atheist should answer that we kind of stopped reading through. One of them was... You know, why do you deny God? And I'm like, well, I can't deny something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I don't deny it, because denying God implies that I'm actively choosing to ignore what is clearly real.
Like, you wake up in the morning and you feel God's presence and you're like, fuck off, God.
Fuck off, God.
Like,
I don't believe in you.
I'm an atheist.
It's like I don't deny God's presence at all. I do not see it anywhere. And so I can't really deny it.
Back with you, what you were saying about the supreme being and how if there were, you wouldn't be able to know. How could you dare? You know, how could you even begin to understand? And in the show Malcolm in the Middle, is one of my favorite scenes. Dewey, the youngest kid, is out and he's been watching ants all day and messing with them or whatever. And he comes inside and he's talking to his mom and he's like, you know, I was outside watching the ants for hours.
He's at Bible school.
He's at Bible school. Yeah. That's right. He's talking to the Bible teacher. He's like, I was watching the ants for hours and I just sat there and watched them and saw where they went and what they did and what their fights and where they and what they were doing and I realized that I could just kill them. I could kill them all and just crush them and I did and I didn't care and I didn't really think about it much. I just kind of did it because I could. And I feel like if there is a God, that's probably how he feels about us.
A part of that is...
Because the ants had no idea who I was, and they didn't understand me.
Yeah, and
they couldn't figure out what was happening.
The ants are completely incapable of understanding why I would kill them on a whim or not.
And for all I know, they could have been praying to me to not kill them, begging me to stop, but I couldn't tell. You know, it's just like it didn't... You know, and the show, the Bible teacher is just like obviously shaken and just like horrified by this. But it's true. I mean, it is that is a very good analogy, I think.
It is a good analogy for the belief.
So more I want to talk about, because I don't want to talk about this the whole time.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this new movement in atheism, Atheism Plus.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if it's a movement.
I think you can qualify it as a movement. I think I've read a few blogs that have self-identified themselves as being a part of a movement to to put this new attitude on, especially prominent atheists and especially those who are willing to like be outspoken against it. And what it is, so just real quick, and you can add to this.
Sure,
terms, and
yeah, I've been reading a lot about it too.
It's atheism plus, and then fill in the blank, atheism plus social justice, atheism plus feminism,
atheism plus
gay rights.
Gay rights, yeah.
Humanism.
Yeah, sure. Atheism, you could even be like atheism plus, you know, like, you know, taking care of the poor, you know, poverty, you know,
right.
Welfare. You know,
social justice.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially suggesting that atheism activism especially.
Yes,
I think
and being
atheism
activist.
Activism needs to make social justice part of its
identity.
Because
part of its identity, part of its agenda.
Much like sure. How religions, especially Christianity, especially the good ones, you know, are making it a goal to do social... I mean, the best ones are doing social justice work and are doing work in the community and making a name and saying, like, you know, this is Catholic charities and things like that, that we could have, you know, atheist charities and atheist safe houses for abused women and things like that that are about putting us in there, too.
At the Unitarian church I went to as an atheist teenager for the coming of age program, which is like high school kids, like I think 16, 15, somewhere in there. The whole entire focus of that is social justice. There's mandatory community hours. You have to, as a group, as a class, do a community service project or two.
Did you agree upon them?
That's... Unitarians
consensus.
Decide things by consensus, right? So,
they never get anything done.
I don't know.
They always make sure there's an odd number of people voting, is what they do.
Right. Teenage kids can be tricked into agreeing fairly easily.
You can be tricked into all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Right, Eric?
So if you have a good coming-of-age leader, you have someone that's good at controlling a bunch of kids get them into agreeing on something like that. And so, I don't know, I feel like if you're an atheist and you I don't know, aren't an asshole? I don't know, maybe that's true.
I think the atheism plus piece partially comes from there are a lot of women. It comes a lot from the feminist perspective.
It starts from feminism.
From feminism, Rebecca Watson, Surly Amy, Jen McCrate,
we had her on our podcast, Stephanie Zavon, Cammie.
And it comes from some of these prominent women in the movement who, when they've chosen to speak out about feminism, they've gotten smacked down pretty hard from some...
Like,
from
at the nicest,
point.
It's like, shut up, cunt. Like, no one cares. No one cares.
From other atheists.
From other atheists who basically are saying...
Mostly men, but some women.
And so there's the response of, well, we want to create a safe space within atheism to talk about these other topics. And, you know, I'm a feminist. I've been a feminist probably all my life. It bothers me when feminism is smacked down like that at any time. And I think I was reading on the Friendly Atheist website, I read some comments on one of the blogs about Atheism Plus. And one of them was somebody who was saying, well, I have a real problem with feminism because it implies that it's all about women and it disincludes men. And the response to it, which I thought was really reasonable, was, well, when you talk about gay rights, technically that disincludes straight people, right? But you want straight people to be part of it. And feminism isn't the term. You know, what other term are you going to use besides feminism
when
you're talking? Well, yeah.
Like Henrik Ibsen, his famous play, The Dollhouse, which is lauded as being one of the first feminist pieces of playwriting. He often said, I'm not a feminist, I'm a humanist. I think the term feminism makes it seem like they need special help. And I want it to be about, it should be about people being equal. But I've never heard the argument about, you say gay rights, you don't say human rights.
It is a good argument. I personally don't identify as a feminist.
Nor do I, for the record.
I grew up I mean, I was mostly raised by my mom, and she's a lesbian, and so I lived in a house full of women most of the time, and she was very feminist. I mean, she's too young to be a hippie, but her older siblings were hippies, and she was, I mean, before she realized that she was gay, she was very obsessed with women, and so she was all about the feminist movement when she was younger, and so, I mean, that's like in my background and in my upbringing, but I don't identify as that.
This could be a generational thing too, though.
Oh, sure. I don't have a problem with the term like some people are saying they do. I just don't identify as that because I feel that it's a symptom of a larger problem or something that needs a bigger solution, and I feel like humanist fits better for me.
That feminism, while important, is just a piece of the puzzle. And yes. I think that's what Atheism Plus is talking about.
I think so too.
That you know, and I agree with the feminist perspective in terms of, and I mean the feminist perspective that's being espoused by the people in question, to me it's really just saying, being a woman, you can be a woman any way you want. You know, if you wanna wear makeup and high heels and dress super sexy, that's completely fine.
That's what you should be saying. I wish that in practice that were the case. And I think that the best among us and the best feminists and the do you know how you talk about real Christians? Real feminists, that's the attitude they have. But there's unfortunately what spoils the bunch, the people that don't feel that way and who
you
actually
used to get criticism for that when you
I went to St. Kate's and there was a big, I mean, there was a lot of backlash there for, you know, having a boyfriend. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. And it was weird. Well, it's college girls, but
when you were a homemaker, when we were married, and you were at home, women would say to you, like, oh, so you don't do anything.
Yeah, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm a homemaker. I run our household. I take care of the budget. I make sure that everything's, you know, clean.
Our
I do
schedule,
the cooking.
Our...
Yeah, and they're like, oh, so you don't work. You don't do anything. And I'm like, well, I mean, I do this. Like, oh, but do you have kids? I'm like, no, I don't have kids. Oh, so you just stay at home all day. You don't do anything at all. And literally would be dismissed at parties. People would stop talking
to me. And they'd say that you were you were setting women back not subscribing to
and
their
so
feminism.
I don't consider those women feminists.
Well, I don't think they
personally.
I don't think they are. I don't
they
agree
would
that.
Call themselves that, and the fact that they identify that way harms the term.
You can't stop someone from identifying as something.
Yeah.
And those
people,
those women are going to call themselves feminists.
And it's
so
frustrating. That's what frustrates me about feminism.
And that's all. Yeah.
But, I think, you can find... there again, you can find bad...
Yep.
Bad eggs within atheism. There are plenty of atheists.
Bad eggs within Christianity.
It took me a long time to identify myself as an atheist because one of the only out atheists I knew I really despised.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to be like that person.
And I'm
not going to talk about who it is or anything. But I mean, the point was, you look at that person and that's your example for atheism. And you're like, well, I'm not that. And I think
what this movement's about, being a positive example.
And I think, and the other thing that happens is anytime somebody talks about feminism, I mean, the internet is full of assholes.
Yes, the world is full of assholes.
But the internet concentrates them because you can be an asshole and you don't have to be an asshole to somebody's face. Mm-hmm. It is so much harder to be an asshole when you're looking somebody in the eyes. And the amazing thing about a lot of the shitty stuff that gets said, especially to the people like Rebecca Watson and those folks is, and we've talked to Rebecca Watson. She's totally fucking cool.
She's super cool.
And you know, if you have a conversation with her about feminism face to face,
none of these people would ever do.
None of these people would ever do because
they
the minute they do that,
they don't have the clam to do it.
The minute they do that, they aren't able to be the asshole that they want to be.
Because
then you've actually got to listen to what the other person has to say.
When we had burgers at Cammie's place, who was our guest in our first episode?
Our second episode. And we had burgers over at her place because she mentioned
burgers.
And oh my God,
her
they're so good.
Makes amazing.
Thank you, Cammie.
And she swears
Cammie
they were...
Greg is her husband.
She swears they were not par, and I don't see how that's possible because they're so fucking good. But
the secret.
We had a similar... We talked about this a little bit, about Atheism Plus, and she said... here's the thing, with the feminism not being just about women thing, like you're saying being pro-gay rights is for straight people too, being, pro-feminist is not just for women, because we are all forced or trying to be conformed into gender roles.
Right.
That's true.
And those roles aren't necessarily right for everyone or fair for everyone, and that affects everyone being forced into these preconceived cultural, you know, objects.
And even if the preconceived cultural role for your gender happens to work for you, it still doesn't work, because there's people for whom it doesn't work, and they don't think that you should be doing that. Always, no matter what, it seems like everyone is at a disadvantage.
But in this case, the argument is, if we look at equality, and I think that feminism at its core is about equality of gender, is working towards a society where there isn't white male privilege, and there absolutely is white male privilege.
Or just just male privilege.
Well, you know what? You could just say privilege.
Yeah.
There is privilege, and a lot of that white guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and as a white guy
in America, it's white male privilege.
But I would say it's honestly, and I would take it one step further and to say that there is a big problem is that there's a socioeconomic part of that a lot of times gets ignored. And that if you are a poor white male, that's not being white and being male isn't going to help you that much.
That's true.
A lot of it, I think these days, a lot of it is money, and unfortunately, money is owned by white men.
It will help you more than being a poor white woman or a poor black man.
For sure. You still have an advantage. Yes, yeah. I agree with that. I'm just saying, we often forget the social or the economic side of that when we're talking about privilege.
But I think when we talk about social justice, I think that's another thing that we're talking about. A rich
white woman has more, I think, than a poor white man. I really think that...
Sure, more privilege,
Privilege. I think that money buys more privilege than gender, honestly. Like, I think a rich woman...
Still, a rich white man has more privilege than a rich white woman.
Right, so, but I'm saying that's when the money is equal. Money more than gender, so if, like, a rich white woman...
No, man, we'd have poor to white
woman. Yeah, I don't want to make a chart with a hierarchy.
Yeah, let's make a cast. You guys, let's make a cast system. That's what we're about to do, so let's
not do that.
What do you
the thing you were talking about with,
Assholes.
Assholes on the internet is, the webcomic Penny Arcade...
Yeah.
Which is usually mostly video game centric, but there's a comic from like 2004 from them, which is a chalkboard, and it's like Unreal Tournament 2004 lends inconvertible evidence or proof to John Gabriel's greater internet fuckwad theory. And I love this. John Gabriel's greater internet fuckwad theory.
You gotta email me the link so I can put this in the show notes.
A normal person plus anonymity plus audience equals total fuckwad.
It's
a heckler theory too, kind of.
It's
true. The darkness of the audience gives you that anonymity,
and you can
shout shit out, and it allows you to do that. Yep, exactly.
And I think that has come out of the atheism community in the sense that when some women start talking about feminist topics, the fuckwad quotient goes through the roof. And atheism plus feels to me like somebody saying, like, these people are saying, look, there are fuckwads out there, and we're sick of dealing with them, so we're going to create this safe piece of our community where those of us who are sick of dealing with the fuckwads don't have to.
And to me, having read a few of the blogs over on Free Thought Blogs, I feel that a part of it that, I mean, the safe space thing doesn't speak to me as much as it does others. And we've discussed that.
Sure.
Whole, like, I don't feel unsafe, but I recognize that that's because of who I am and my experiences. So that's fine.
Right.
I feel like I can handle myself. That doesn't mean that those who don't are lesser or whatever.
Right.
But, so that doesn't speak to me as much, the whole, like, let's create a safe space. That kind of makes me roll my eyes. But what really speaks to me is, like, we need to do more than just not believe in God as a community. We need to do something that says, like, no, it's not, that's, we are brought together by that. We always talk about, like, life is what is now, and this is, we are all here to take care of each other. It's about respect, and that goes to the safe space. So I can understand that. It's about respect. It's about rights for everyone. It's about open communication, being honest and direct, and putting a face on atheism that is not this demonized fucking, like, immoral, God.
It's about not using God as a fucking excuse for everything we do.
But also that we, the good without God isn't just a fucking billboard slogan. That we are, and we're not, and it's not just like, I'm a good person without God. You know, the subreddit of atheism has a competition with the subreddit of Christianity on reddit.com every Christmas for who can raise the most money for Doctors Without Borders. And atheism raised like, something like almost $300,000. Christianity is like $12,000, but whatever. That's not the point. The point is
they're doing good.
The point
between
is
between the two of them, they raise a shit ton of money.
Exactly. And the point is like that is an example of like that got in newspapers. It made it into magazines, and that's what we need is this like activist movement that is coming from a place of.
Well, and you know, here's some things that it's like. We're almost out of time, but I wanted to mention this. It was, I don't know, about a year and a half ago, PZ Myers on his blog, somebody sent him an email saying basically, you know, I don't believe in God, but just about every other thing, I'm conservative. I don't think gays should have the right to marry.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, I don't think women should have special rights.
Good Lord.
You know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, you don't have to believe in any of those things to not believe in God.
Sure.
You know, and PZ basically said the same thing. You know, you can be an atheist if you want, but you're saying you don't feel like this is the community for you. And my response is, you know, I don't understand how you cannot believe in God and then move on to conclude that homosexuals shouldn't be able to marry.
For what reason?
The only justification is religious.
I don't think that guy's an atheist.
Because there aren't any arguments that make sense.
Yeah. There are absolutely no arguments.
The only arguments that there are nonsense that's based on religion. Yeah. Right.
I don't want to commit the no true Scotsman fallacy, but I'm gonna. Because no true atheist thinks that two people who love each other can't get married because they're the same gender. Period. I'm sorry. I'm saying
if you reach the logical conclusion that there's no God, then you need to also reach the logical conclusion that there is absolutely nothing wrong with being gay.
And I'm sorry that if you say you're self-identifying as an atheist, but you think that gay people are wrong or immoral, you need to re-evaluate whether or not you are actually an atheist or if you're just having a crisis of your faith.
I would love to speak to an atheist who doesn't think that gay people should be married.
You don't think gay people should be married and you're an atheist. Write in.
That's a conversation I'd like to have because I'd like to know what their justification is for
that.
Well,
there might be the argument of, well, marriage shouldn't be, the whole idea of the state shouldn't be in control of marriage.
That's not an atheist argument. That's straw man. That's a different argument.
That's not an argument. You know, if you're just basically being asked, should two people of the same gender be allowed to enter into a contract of
that is already allowed to two people of a different gender.
It's even more simple than that.
Yeah. I don't understand
it's
how
it's more simple than that. Do two gay people have the same rights as two straight people? Period. That's the only argument.
Same rights.
Do they have the same rights?
You're right.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
And whether marriage is an institution in the law or not,
has to be
no,
yes.
Fuck you.
That I think as an atheist that has to be yes.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it's the same with women. You know, should two people of the gender have the same rights?
Should two?
I think as an atheist, the answer has to be yes. I think almost
all gender. Should two human beings have the same rights?
I think almost all gender division in our society today comes from religion. I think it comes.
Oh yes.
From,
well,
the all three of the Abrahamic religions to various degrees.
Oh yes.
Degrees,
sure. Oh yes.
But you know, sort of all the other religions. But on top of that. Okay.
There are plenty of matriarchal religions.
To say that men and women are equal. Obviously, yes, but you can't ignore the fact that they are
equal,
different.
They are equal but different.
It is the only time, and I've said this before, bathrooms is the only time where separate but equal is a thing. And gender, separate but equal is a thing, and it has to be, because if you try to ignore the differences between the genders, then you're doing a disservice to both.
Well, but like I said, I think we're equal but different. I mean, a man is physically stronger than a woman, but that's... You know, so that means
generally, men
as a gender are stronger than women as a gender.
I'm putting it out there that I could probably like beat a man to death if you showed me the right man.
You probably could. No. I mean, and that you're right. That's not true of all cases. But anyway, we're getting off track, and I think we need to move on to our five questions because your cousin answered.
He did
the five questions.
My cousin Andrew Hackard answered our five questions.
Sweet.
And, before I answer this first one is, Andrew works at Steve Jackson Games,
Okay.
And he is the Munchkin Czar. So if you play a Munchkin game that's come out recently, and that's he's been helping. He's been
Thank
designing.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Awesome.
You have cost me a lot of money. My kids love Munchkin.
So that will explain this first answer. So I'm just going to read his answers rather than the questions, because he kind of answered the question. He kind of put the question in the answer. So
okay.
Rather than a recent movie, because let's face it, convention season does a number on my ability to watch anything, I'm going to plug Tabletop, Will Wheaton's YouTube show about board, card, and role-playing games. By and large, he does a really good job of showing each game, given he has only a half hour to work with, and the selection of games has been pretty good so far. Most recently, Elder Sign, a game I now think I may understand how to play. And just for the record, Elder Sign is my favorite Fantasy Flight game, so...
All right, so... We'll have to include a link to that.
Yep, but,
Well, yeah, I've heard a lot.
Plant.
I know.
I haven't watched it yet. I haven't watched it yet either.
So
there's a big plug for.
I saw the one for Small World.
Will Wheaton.
It was very good.
Now I'm hoping like maybe Will Wheaton's an atheist. Maybe we can get.
I met Will Wheaton at Gen Con. He was super nice.
Did you ask him if he was an atheist?
I did not ask
him
if he was an atheist.
Damn it!
Hi, Will Wheaton. Are you an atheist? Yeah. It just doesn't.
We did talk about the weather, which is pretty awesome. All right. So number two, my favorite atheist character. Character is Joan Allen as vice presidential nominee Lainey Hansen in Rod Lurie's The Contender.
I know, I love that movie.
Her atheism is a major plot point, and she ably defends her belief against Gary Oldman's attempts to portray her as amoral or even immoral. Plus, the rest of the cast is outstanding, including Jeff Bridges as the president.
I've never seen it.
The Contender.
We have to see it. It's really good.
So there we go. We've got our next Watch a Movie podcast.
We can do that some. Yeah,
that next maybe in October or December or November we'll do a Watch a Movie podcast. We'll force The Contender. I own that movie.
It's great.
I really like that movie. Very good movie.
God, I love Joan.
Excellent cast. Jeff Bridges was nominated for an Oscar.
Wait, you own that movie?
I know. It's hard to believe.
That's so strange.
Well, I like. I enjoy Hollywood movies about politics because I you can live in a fictional world where Democrats have backbones.
Right? Right?
Anyway,
come on.
So, All right,
number three. My geekiest hobby is listening to as many podcasts of various types as I can. Whenever I'm driving somewhere, I've got podcasts on. I'm on a sidebar. He lives in Texas. So they have to drive a lot. It's a big state. When I'm at home, I watch video podcasts instead of most TV. I can't usually listen to them while I'm working, unfortunately, because I work with words, and having podcasts playing ties up the writing editing part of my brain. The runner-up answer is Everett Kaiser Puzzle Games. I don't know what that means, and he didn't explain.
All right, let me type it in so we can find out.
You type that in while I read the next one. My favorite sandwich is from Thundercloud Subs, an Austin-based chain. It is called the Office Favorite. It's egg salad with lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and bacon on a good long roll. I usually go for wheat, but the white is excellent as well. I add provolone cheese, spicy mustard, and loads of pepper. Mm. I've been meaning to try it with spicy sweet peppers, but I'm rationing myself because there's no way at all this sandwich is good for me, so I try not to eat it too often.
Your cousin lives in Austin, right?
Yep.
Oh my God.
You can actually visit Thundercloud Subs in the airport because the restaurants in the Austin airport are all the local restaurants.
Austin has the greatest food ever.
I go to Austin once a year to visit Calendar Club for work, and then we also, this last year we stopped and we met I got to see the Steve Jackson headquarters, and we had lunch with Hack and Phil, which is really fun.
I go to Austin once a year for the Buttonomathon for Harry Potter.
Oh yeah,
Cool News, which I got to get you guys to apply for that. We've got to go together.
I really want to go.
All right, let's go then.
Oh
my God, it's 2009, whatever.
All right. Anyway, what's next?
All right, number five. The stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a tie between you'll be sorry you didn't believe in God when you die and go to hell. And do you really think random chance could have caused all of this?
Yeah.
My answers are no, I won't, and yes, I do, respectively. The second question is particularly stupid. It's like handing someone a shuffled deck of cards and having them accuse you of stacking the deck because that particular arrangement is so unlikely. We do a shitty, shitty job of teaching statistical reasoning in this country.
I don't know what else to say to that. That's a great answer.
Right?
It's just like, do you really think random chance? Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I literally think so, yes.
But the other problem is it's a failure to understand natural selection because natural selection is not random chance. The individual mutation may be random, but the mutation only survives if it's advantageous.
I've had so many people...
And not the fittest, but advantageous.
Yes.
Some advantageous traits are not
fittest.
Right.
Well, a good example in one of Dawkins' books, The Greatest Show on Earth, which I recommend for those of you who have a problem with Dawkins as an atheist, he writes great books about evolution. And The Greatest Show on Earth is about evolution. He talks about, like, the cheetah and the fact that cheetah, amazing burst of speed, right? They can only do that like two or three times, and then they are done. If they don't catch something in those bursts of speed,
they're
done. They will die. And so there's the advantage of that burst of speed allowing them to catch their meal, but the disadvantage of they can only do it so many times, and if they don't manage to catch something in that amount of time, it's not going to work out. And that's
fuzzy missile.
And the trick is that disadvantage is a predator-prey balance. If cheetahs could catch the prey every time, if they could keep doing that speed burst until they caught prey, there wouldn't be enough prey for cheetahs to survive.
No.
And yeah, so...
I've had so many people throw the golden ratio in my face as being evidence of intelligent design and how, like, it, you know, it's like, oh, well, what about the... Look at the Nautilus! It's the Fibonacci sequence or whatever and all that. And it's just, and you're like, yeah, all right. I mean, I don't know how you think that...
Patterns in nature are
patterns
not.
Show up, right. And that's just thing. Yeah. My
favorite evolutionary trait thing is chihuahuas.
Yeah,
bred for food and large eyes, very expressive eyes is kind of plays on your baby part of your brain.
Babies have big heads and bigger
big heads and big eyes. It's very expressive, and so
it
kind of tweaks that part of your brain that makes you want to take care of them. And so the chihuahuas that had bigger heads and bigger eyes got kept as pets. And then when they tremble, it looks like they're cold, and you want to pick them up and hold them. So the chihuahuas that had big heads, big eyes, and trembled, that became their survival trait.
They were pulled out as pets
and not eaten, and so those survived and those breeds, and that's why we have chihuahuas.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think we're nearing the end. We want to remind people before I let Molly sign off what our five questions are, because you can send them in.
Yes.
You can send them in to us. We've got a few more responses, but the more we get, we'll read them off when it's a podcast with just the three of us. So our five questions, number one is, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days? That would be either movies that you've seen in the theater or on home video.
The next one is, what is your favorite atheist character?
So ideally that would be a fictional character.
Number three would be, what is your geekiest hobby?
Hobby, right.
And then Nick, what's four?
What's your favorite sandwich? And please, be explicit.
Be very,
explicit. Explicit.
My favorite sandwich is shaped like a penis. No. Right.
We want details. We want to know where you got the sandwich and what's on it. Is it hot or is it cold?
And then our fifth question is, what's the stupidest thing that anybody has said to you as an atheist or skeptic? And again, as detailed as you want. And we will be happy to read your responses on the air. We appreciate the ones we've gotten so far.
Indeed. So thanks a lot for joining us, guys. So you can read Tim's blog at petsnakereggie.com. We also do our own blogging on our site, geeksithoutgod.com. And additionally, you'll find some funny content that the three of us write on the Vilification Tennis website.
www.vilificationtennis.com.
I write the horoscopes, and Tim does the movie dick, and Nick and I both write some world news now and then, so it's very funny. And as always, you can email us at Tim, Nick, or Molly at geeksithoutgod.com. Send us your questions, send us your comments. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks
a lot.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. Thanks to Melissa Kerscher for our totally sweet logo.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts on geekswithoutgod.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
We're just like jabber, 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 jabber,
That's
jabber.
All right.